Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to LNB, Passage to Empowerment. Our topic tonight is, are you giving your power away? I am Nina, the N in LNB, and we have our lovely Lydia.
Hi.
And our wonderful...
And the Boo.
And the Brenda.
Oh, that's right. That's right. My name is Brenda.
Yes, your name is Brenda. I'm going to start tonight out by just talking about the travesty that's happened in both of our countries, Canada and the U.S., in the last week. As many of you know, we lost three RCMP officers in Eastern Canada last Wednesday to a gunman. And the same thing happened yesterday in Las Vegas. All senseless killings, of which there is now 9 children without their daddies, plus the wives that are left behind, all the cousins, all the moms, all the dads, all the families, all the friends. And these, to me anyways, these killings maybe could have been averted if the people that did the killings would have got some help. From the information I have gathered from both these shootings, all the shooters had mental health issues. So I think we, being every one of us, should maybe stop and take a look around. And when we see the signs of somebody having a mental health problem, try and get them help or at least alert somebody about it. Either one of you got anything to say?
No, I totally agree. I think we do need to remember this. I mean, to me, it's really important that it's a mental health issue, and it's one of those aspects of our health that, well, I don't think a lot of countries take as seriously as getting your arm broken or having a problem with your leg or eyesight. It's usually even obvious in the way that mental health issues are parceled out through most insurance agencies. I'm not sure about single-payer countries, but generally you can't utilize them as easily as you can utilize the doctor for either nutritional or weight loss, or if you're having something as chronic as diabetes. Here's the thing. Mental health issues can be just as chronic, and they can be as far-reaching. So it's a worldwide issue.
I agree, and I think by us sitting back and not doing anything or saying anything, we are giving away our power. We have maybe the power to change a few things, to help these people anyways if they can't see that they need help themselves, and change some lives, give back the power, and take the power ourselves. But anyways, for those of you in Canada, tomorrow we are asked to wear red. It doesn't have to be total red, just even a little piece of red. to show our support of our fallen RCMP officers and to show that we care. And I don't see why the same can't be for the U.S. Let's show these people, the people that are protecting us, that we care and that we want to do something for them too. Okay, that's
yeah,
all I
have. They're on the front lines, people, and they are trying to protect people, and that they were just gunned down so senselessly is, you know, it's just worrisome. And one in Las Vegas yesterday also killed other innocent people and civilians, and it's just definitely our country. I'm not speaking for Canada. I'm speaking for the United States. Really needs to look at their mental health care. Make it more accessible.
I know it's accessible here, but you have to ask for the access, right? So, yeah.
It's really not accessible here. It's really hard, and it's really... I was trying to help someone with their daughter who was having a lot of problems, and they wanted to get her into she was in high school, and they wanted to get her into a program that would be, you know, help her get off the drugs and to learn about herself and all that. And the one that they would like to have sent her to cost $2,000 a day. And And their insurance wouldn't pay for it. And they didn't have a house to mortgage or anything like that. And, you know, it's just devastating, you know, to not be able to help your child get the help that they need. It was a real eye-opener for me. I hadn't realized that something like that could cost so much money.
Yeah. Unreal. I was talking earlier to Brenda about this, but I think maybe in July, when we are sure that the three of us are available, we're going to dedicate a show to this.
Mm-hmm.
And see if maybe we can't get some ideas from everybody out there. Maybe the three of us can dig in and find some more information on this and see what we can do to maybe bring it into the light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I have one idea about bringing it into the light for those who are left, for all the loved ones who are left. I really, you know, wouldn't mind just a moment of silence, and really, instead of seeing them hurting so bad, I would like for us to send love and light to them and the children and all the loved ones of these people that have been so senselessly taken, but see them in the most positive light, that they're growing and thriving, and that something so terrible could at some point, not right away, of course, but that we can see them thriving and growing in love and light, and maybe in the memory of their loved ones. And if we could maybe just even take 30 seconds and just everybody who's listening in the chat room, on the computer, even if you're listening in the archives, just to take a deep breath and just send love out from your heart to all of them.
And I'm going to send Reiki in these 30 seconds to them as well.
Okay, I'll time it. Okay, take a deep breath. Thank you, everyone, and I do this because I really believe that we are not separate. We're all one, so it happens to all of us, and anyway, sending out love and light.
All right, so let's move on, and let's talk about power.
are you giving your power away?
I'm going to jump in, okay?
Okay. Yep, please.
And the reason I'm jumping in is because last night I watched, I've been following, if you haven't had a chance, maybe you can pop in another time, but today is, I believe, one of the last days of the Hay House Summit, and there was a lot of wonderful free stuff, and I did do the $7. Thank you, Nina, Lydia, for suggesting that. And I got the premium, so I got to listen to some wonderful stuff, and I got to see Dr. Dyer when he did The Power of Intention. It was a wonderful.
I know, I watched that today.
You watched that today? Okay, so you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm going to talk about some of the things he said, because as soon as I heard it, I thought, oh, yeah, this is totally right in keeping with today's show. And I'm going to read to you some of the things he said. He said, just this one particular part, okay? He said, if you don't have love for yourself, then you're not trusting in the wisdom that created you. The idea of being able to respect yourself at all times, how do you do this, he says. And he says, you go about life in the spirit of cooperation instead of competition. But let's, you know, jump back real quickly to that first line. If you don't love yourself, then you're not trusting in the wisdom that created you. So whatever it is that you believe created you, whatever kind of magnanimous or incredible or omnipotent belief you have in your creator, and I'm saying yours because I'm not foolish enough to tell you what your beliefs are or that they're anywhere near mine, but there are many people who believe that God is so perfect and all-knowing and everything such as that. Yet, they look at their bodies and they think how incredibly creepy they are, or their face doesn't look as good as someone else's, or maybe there's something wrong with their hair. Whatever it is that you're looking at yourself and you're thinking less than, you are totally saying that everything that created you, your whole reason for being in this world, is negated. He even said something about something that Soren Kierkegaard said, philosopher Soren Kierkegaard, well, most people know him as Kierkegaard. Kierkegaard said later in this particular thing, he said that, once you label me, you negate me. And if you think about that, when you label another person as fat, tall, skinny, whatever, creepy, ugly, useless. And I want you to understand when you're labeling someone else, I want you to understand this, every time that you do that to someone else, or every time you speak to yourself in this manner, I'm so ugly, I'm so useless, you know, why am I so fat? Why do I have to have a broken leg? How come I'm deaf? If only I wasn't blind. Whatever it is that's going on with you that somehow brought you in this world this way, once you're labeling anybody, you're negating them. And you're doing that to yourself. So even though it seems like Doris Day was so all god awful cute and perfect and had this great career, her life had a lot of things that went on in her life that helped to balance things out. But she was meant to be here in whatever way that she looked, however her skin was, however her eyes were, whatever, she was meant to be here. And she's just like you and me. We're all there. Okay, I mean, go on just a little bit further. And he said, you say to yourself, I am, this is Dr. Dyer. He said, you say to yourself, I am whole. I am perfect as I was created. I came from a source that not only created the shape of my eyes and the shape of my body and the color of my skin and my height, I came from a source that has a great idea who I should be as well. And this cannot be fulfilled if you are not in a state of love with yourself. And if you're not loving yourself, what do you give in to everyone else? I've said that many times over my lifetime to people.
Mm-hmm.
So he said also, when you're not in a state of love, what's that like? Whenever you judge another human being, you do not define them with your judging. You define yourself as someone who needs to be judged. You're giving your power away every time you judge another human being. And he said, if I call you stupid, that does not make you stupid. It makes me a person who has to put labels on other people.
Well,
he also said, true nobility is not about being better than anybody else. It is about being better than you used to be. Be love. Beauty is truth, and truth is beauty. Now, I wrote this part here. Here's a stretch for some of you and possibly a reminder for others. And yet, some of you are wondering why I would even mention it, because you might actually think in this way and are so immune, you're going to kind of wonder why I'm talking about it. And I need to clarify this. You're immune to the judgments of others because you don't believe in it. And I'm going to tell you something. If you think that you're a non-judgmental person, then ask yourself this. How often do you describe somebody when you're talking about them? Are you talking about youthful people or elderly people? Are you talking about fat people? Do you talk about the shape of that person? Do you always want to describe how they look like somebody else you know? You're making a judgment when you're not just merely talking about them. And I don't mean talking about them like gossip. So when you, like, well, my brother used to say things to me, sorry, David, and he would say, oh, well, such and such, you know, she kind of has your coloring, Brenda, and she's sort of like, you know, she's probably about your size, and then da-da-da-da, and he'd start talking about this woman who was talking, he's trying to tell me about this woman who has this great business, she has this great attitude, and she kind of reminded him of me. And I said, well, what does her size have to do with how successful she is? Well, no, it doesn't. And I said, what does it matter if she looks like me or not? Well, no, that's not it. It's like, yeah, because she's her own person. And I said, every time somebody talks to me and they want to tell me that somebody was tall, or they want to tell me that somebody's, oh, well, you know, he's Malaysian, or, this friend of ours, he says this, but he's Jewish. Every time you use the descriptions like that and it has nothing to do with the pertinence of the conversation, you're making the slightest judgment. You may not agree with me, but even something as simple as this, something that I found out about myself when I used to drive professionally, and people would do all these crazy maneuvers in a car, you know, on the road, which were unsafe, I would turn and look to see who was driving the car. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know what somebody who drives like an idiot, i.e. an idiot, looks like. And I would actually make judgments. Ah,
and
another
really
guy. They think they drive
they
so
like.
Good. Oh, it figures it's an Asian. You know, I guess it is true that they drive bad. Look at that, another ditzy woman. I am so sick of ditzy drivers. Yeah, I did it. Hello, hand up. And I'm not ashamed of myself, but I am better than I used to be. And I kid you not, when somebody does something crazy on the road and I'm driving, I just, you know, bless them on their way. I don't look at them. I don't turn my head to see what they're doing. I do watch for traffic, and that's it. I don't try to turn and look and see what's behind that bad movement. All that matters is the bad movement I need to watch out for so that I don't cause an accident that they're almost causing. I'm not going to be part of it. But, you know, what they're shaped like, what their sex is, what nationality they are, doesn't matter. Because as far as I know, and maybe I'm wrong, bad behaviors, whether you murder someone or not, whether you mistreat your children or not, whether you fool around on your spouse or not, is not relegated to a specific sex, race, shape, size, or color. And power for us is in being better in our own self and not looking at others as less than. So every time you judge someone, it is the immediate siphoning off of your power.
Exactly. Okay, I'm just going to give out the phone number, area code 646-727-2914. Pop in, give us a call, and let us know what you think about giving your power away and how we should and shouldn't do this. I have another example of giving power away. Excuse me. Somebody that asks for help all the time without first trying it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving away so much. You have to try it yourself first, and then if you can't succeed, then ask for help. But try first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you learn something.
Well,
and
yeah.
And that sure makes it so powerful.
For sure.
And it's okay to ask for help. Like Nina said earlier, if you're feeling like you're off base mentally, you know, ask for help.
Yeah,
if you,
please.
If nobody's helping you, keep asking.
Yeah. Any
Don't
other
pick
examples?
Up the gun. Go ahead.
I have an example.
Okay.
One classic statement that, you know, to me signals that you're giving your power away is, oh, he made me or she made me do whatever or say whatever or think whatever. You know, it's classic. To me, it signals someone that is giving their power. You know, if I'm within earshot, I'll say, nobody can make you do anything.
Or a classic
like
one is everybody else is doing it. So, yeah, and of course, you know, my dad would say, well, if everybody's jumping off a bridge, are you going to jump off too? I'm sure we all heard that when we were growing up.
Yeah. I think I told my son that. And then I laughed because it was something I heard when I was growing up. Yeah.
Well, exactly.
Also,
yeah.
Not speaking
okay.
up when, you know, maybe you don't want to rock the boat. Maybe you don't want to speak up. I had an instance. Hopefully my husband's not listening. Or hopefully he is. I had an incident with him. We were doing a project, and all of a sudden he, you know, I said something, and he just really reacted to it. And I said, you know, I was just asking you this, and, you know, and sometimes I have been guilty of just sitting on it and giving my complete power away. But I brought it to his attention, and I said, you know, if you're feeling that I'm being bossy, you know, I had no idea what was going on, but if you're feeling like I'm being bossy, then you need to tell me in a way that I can fix that problem. You know, I'm not perfect. I am perfect for my husband. Not perfect. And, you know, I can be bossy sometimes. So, but I didn't feel like that was what was going on. And I asked him a key question, which was kind of interesting. And I said, when your mom and dad did projects, did your mom boss your dad around? And he said, yeah. I don't know if that was it exactly, but there was some feeling cropping up. And I didn't feel like this time I was being bossy. But I hope I think he will be able to tell me next time he's feeling that feeling. I said, just tell me, you know, what's going on, you know, because I want to do more projects with him. I like him.
Maybe you better marry that guy.
Oh,
I did.
You did.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's all good then.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm gonna read you a list, folks. And this is, no, I'm not gonna read all of them, but I'm gonna read some of them. These are real constant. You avoid saying no or telling people your true thoughts and desires. Mel said that she doesn't like to share her feelings with people. I don't think that you have to come right out and say, you know, I felt like, you know, the president was really kind of harsh on people like me because he's blah, 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 blah. I don't think you need to get that deep. But when somebody is in a just private conversation with you or doing something with you, or you're even in a group, and that's, when you're in a group is when most people tend to let their power go because they, unless they're sort of narcissistic, most of the time people feel less powerful in this huge conglomerate. And they sort of, there's a psychological, for some reason, people in group, they actually have group dynamics in psychology because people get into a group and all of a sudden they take on the mentality of the quote-unquote group, which usually is taking on the mentality of the big mouth or the narcissist, mm-hmm. unless you're lucky enough to have somebody who's real respectful of everyone's power and will try to facilitate actual group, honest, you know, talking to everyone in the group to get a consensus. So saying no or telling people without, and or not telling people your true thoughts about something you don't want to do or you really do want to do, that's a big sign. I used to, I'm not going to call this person out, but I used to call someone and I'd say, do you want to do such and such? Like, do you want to call this person? And it's like, well, I don't know. I don't care if you want to. And it's like, well, weren't you just talking about that person? And it's like, yeah, but, you know, only if you want to. Yeah, I don't even know if whoever you are in the world, how if you understand how infuriating that is. It's almost like putting something on me, you know, the other person. So, you know, just stand up and say it. Yeah, I'd really like to do that if you think it's possible. That's a real easy way to get around that. Or, you know, at this time, I'm not really feeling it. My brother David uses that one all the time. He says, yeah, sis, I'm not really feeling that one. You know, which is cool because, hey, he's being real honest about what's going on inside him. Now, I might take a hard edge like, brother, this will da 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 da. And he might say, really? Well, okay, well, maybe. You know, or he'll say, yeah, no, not tonight. Maybe next week or something. And who can fault anybody for that? So say no when you need to. So now I'm going to let Nina and Lydia jump in. You know, to give how to handle that. Jump in, ladies, you know, when you want to.
All right,
go through
Brenda.
This. Huh?
All right, no.
What?
I'm saying no.
Back off. Oh, Lord, can't say those lines. Oh, well, I. Back off, two shoes. Okay, so then you feel run over by your emotions or you think that it isn't safe to feel them at all. Have you ever been in a situation, I told Nina about a situation, it's real personal, where I actually felt like a deer in headlights. Something happened to me, it was a really bad social situation, and it was from people that I absolutely adored, so I just didn't, you know, I didn't understand why they were acting that way. And it's because I kept giving them so much of my power, they felt it was totally within their realm to just walk all over me. This is many, many years ago. I ain't letting anyone walk over this. This doormat is kicking some serious booty when somebody comes a step. Okay. So here's a...
Wait a minute.
What?
Okay, it's Lydia.
Yeah, because I didn't get a chance to say my piece, and I'm not giving all the power to you, Brenda.
She's taking her power back.
Saying no is very, very powerful, and for those of us that maybe feel like they have to say yes or whatever, I have learned to practice saying no in the mirror or in the car when you're driving and try out different things. I love that I'm not feeling that right now. Or,
yeah.
You know, I'm
no, I'm not there. But also, I practice saying no, 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 and not no because I think blah, 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 blah. But just no, or it's not going to work for me. Or, oh, thanks for thinking of me. No, I'm not going to be able to. But you don't have to have excuses along with the no. You can just say no. And you can practice it. And I think practicing it helps you to, you know, get your sea legs, so to speak, for when the real test comes. And I have proven it. So, because I had a very hard time saying no. And I say no pretty easily now. I say yes when I want to, but I also say no.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, so yeah. Thank you, Lydia, that I appreciate. See, that was a great example. That was a great example. Sometimes people don't even know they're running over you because they have a strong personality, you know, or they speak with, like, all this, you know, major assertion, like here. I mean, we're all three strong personalities. And I didn't hear Lydia, but I'm glad that, you know, Nina stood up for Lydia. Lydia stood up for herself. She had more to say.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a great example. That's what I'm saying, Lydia. No, it was.
I know.
Yeah. Okay, so now here's another thing. You overeat, do drugs, drink, smoke as an act of rebellion. Or you cut yourself, or you do bulimic-type activities or anorexia. These are all ways that you harm yourself or mutilate yourself because it makes you feel in control. And that's one of the reasons that a lot of people with eating disorders and those issues are people who have been sexually abused. Children who have been sexually abused or physically abused often have real strong feelings of loss of power. And unfortunately, they're children, so they usually have none. So this is how they get it back. Go ahead.
There's also one that is very socially acceptable, so people might not put it into the mix. But working all the time.
Yeah.
Workaholic. You know, that's really so. Right now in our society, that's revered almost. Oh, he's a workaholic. They don't ever say it with disgust or disdain. You know, they might, you know, say that about an alcoholic or a drug addict, but they don't say it about a workaholic. But really and truly, it can destroy relationships and lives. And sometimes is the result from giving your power away because your boss knows that if they tell you to do something, you're not going to say no. No, I'm not really feeling it right now.
Yeah, and they will use that. They will use that. Women who were beaten, women who have been beaten very often, you know, given so much of their power away that it's almost incredulous when the woman says to the spouse, you know, please, you know, stop hitting me. It's not right. She's going to get an extra crack from that one because how dare you even speak up to me after you've cowered for so long? You know, you're probably heading for a really big, big fall. So harming yourself in any way, shape, or form is basically proven that you've given too much or you're constantly given too much of your power away. So it's time to... Dr. Dyer sort of talked about that last night about when he just finally started to honor his body. You know, he started to gain his power because he started thinking, hey, I'm going to start. He started running. He actually talked about that he ran, ever since then he ran like 8 miles, I think, every day, I think, until only recently, right? I believe so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you're not eating right or you're drinking too much or you're smoking all the time, you smell like one big, you know, empty or not empty ashtray, if you're cutting, if you're trying to make yourself look horrific with your clothing, your dress, or your makeup, if you do everything to sort of push people away, you're probably trying to deal with the lack of control that you, because you've given so much of your power away. So start doing the opposite. If you're drinking, stop. If you're overeating, start controlling the way that you eat, or look for something better to eat. So just stop for a second. See what you're doing. Is it helping you? Then it's probably okay. If it's not, you're probably giving your power away. You stay in jobs or relationships you hate because you're afraid you won't make it if you don't.
Yeah, that's classic.
Okay, you feel guilty for doing things you truly enjoy. Oh, my God, that is so huge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everybody, if you have never taken a Saturday or the middle of the week, and when you normally go watch the movies or you go to somebody else's house or whatever it is you do all the time, and you don't just take it, decide, you know, I just feel like doing nothing, and you don't do that, if you've never done that, you need to do it at least once. I call it stealing time for myself, where I actually don't answer the phone. And I just snuggle under my blankets and I watch, you know, monster movies or whatever for almost the whole day. And I just, the dogs, you know, I might open the door and they can kind of come and go, and I just do whatever it is I feel like doing for 8 hours. It's empowering even if you do nothing, because it's saying to your heart and your spirit, I matter enough to just do whatever I want, no matter what everyone else wants me to do at this given moment. Okay, let's see. You think your thoughts and behaviors are who you are, or you don't know who you are without your behaviors. You do know, well, I believe that we're all spiritual beings in this physical world, and we're beyond our behaviors. You know, if you're sleeping around and you're really promiscuous, is that really who you are? You know, after you beat someone up because you're mad your girlfriend was dating him, is that really who you are? Who we are is so much better than the way that we've been treated and the way that a lot of people tell us we are. Just like we discussed earlier about being labeled. Even people that, you know, people say, oh, she's a slut, she's a whore, she's a streetwalker, whatever. Listen, everybody, no matter what profession they are, there's somebody inside there. There's some great person that was supposed to be on this earth for a reason in there. And their behaviors are generally, or even some of the creepy thoughts they have. Glenn Beck, I know, maybe he doesn't seem human to you, but still inside there, there's a human being, you know, but we all get lost, some of us more than others, and we want to try to connect to that part that is still a good spiritual person, that, you know, we came here pure, we came to this earth in whatever form, and we were pure beings. So, yeah, this is a result of a lot of filterings of other people's stuff along with our believing their stuff instead of believing ourselves about who we are. So you're beyond that. You're more than that. And we keep talking about that. And we're going to keep talking about it till everyone gets it. You think that your needs aren't important. Have you ever said, I don't really want to bother anybody. That's how come I didn't get them to take me to the doctor. Mm-hmm. You don't set boundaries. Raise your hand if you're one of those people that didn't set boundaries, basically what Lydia was saying. You don't say no.
That was the old me. Not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I recognize quite a few of these. I mean, it's not that I've done it. And, you know, I think we all can do that. I think we're taught. we're kind of taught at an early age to give our power away in some instances, not all, but I mentioned before, I remember as clear as day, I know I wasn't five yet because we still lived in the old apartment that we moved from when I was five. Anyway, I went into a store and there was a man there and I was being very shy. And as all of you know, that's not my true nature. And I remember kind of grabbing my mom's leg and kind of hiding. I didn't want to see that man. And I didn't like the man. And, of course, I was young. I didn't know why. And my mother said, okay, give him a hug. He owned the store, and we were at the store, and she goes, oh, give, you know, Mr. So-and-so a hug. And, man, I would rather, you know, put a hot poker in my eye. And I didn't want to, and I wouldn't get behind from behind her leg. And she called me bad and shamed me and, you know, something I didn't want to do. I was almost made to do it, but I was pretty forceful. And, well, so maybe I did keep some of my power, but it was a big thing. I wanted to be a good girl. I didn't want to be a bad person. And when my mom called me bad, it was very, very hurtful. And she didn't understand. I think a lot of people didn't understand back then that if a child doesn't feel comfortable enough to give hugs or kisses or anything else, you don't force them.
No.
They'll come to it if they want to.
And there's probably a reason they're feeling that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And I know that, you know, you might feel embarrassed as a parent if your child says no or shies away or whatever. But I personally, when I encounter a child like that, I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, no, don't worry about it.
Trust in your instincts. Yes.
Right. Uh-huh.
I just wanted to kick back towards AJ. AJ said what I was saying about your behaviors, your thoughts and your behaviors basically aren't defining you. But basically, the best way I should have said that was your mistakes or the things that you consider to be bad behaviors. Apologize for that, folks. And, good point out, AJ. Thank you, sweetie. We're more than your bad decisions. And when I say bad, I'm not good for the good and bad, but decisions that don't serve you. So if you went out of town with the town drunk because he promised you the world and you find yourself alone in a town and, you know, all kinds of horrible things are happening, going back home might be okay, even though you feel like an idiot. You're not an idiot. You know, it was just another lesson in life that you've learned on, you know, maybe not to go with people or whatever. You know, staying there and being afraid to go home is also giving away your power. You know, if it's safer to go home, despite that you feel like you have to go with your tail between your legs, it's okay. You know, better than to continue on a powerless path that could harm you further.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I think that as a young woman, was apt to make some dumb decisions, not necessarily going with an alcoholic, but to maybe going with a guy that paid attention to me, even though my gut said no. And I tried not to continue it. I didn't go from him to another guy, another guy, another guy. And I do see that behavior, and it's sad that you don't love yourself enough to say, you know, maybe I tell women, I say, you know, your picker is not good. You know, the thing that you pick men with is not that good. So maybe you should lay off picking men for a while. Maybe you are strong within yourself and find out who you are, and then you will attract a good man. But, you know, and when I say that, they go, my picker? I'm like, yeah, look at the men you picked or the women you've picked.
Yeah, or the women.
Or the women, yeah. I know many men that, you know, they're picking superficially. She's got great boobs. she's got a nice butt. It's like, yeah, but does she have anything that's going to stimulate you, you know, after the boobs and the butt? What's going on here? Anyway, it slices both ways. If I say women, you know, it's because I am a woman, but I certainly have known men that have done this too.
Yeah. Great example, actually. Great example. My sister and I had a conversation about that today, and something about, you know, if somebody's only interested in having hitting this because of, you know, my breasts, or they want to hit this, but they don't really want to deal with my troglodyte toes, or, you know, they think my back end is too jiggly or whatever. I said, even if they're just interested in my little finger, they're going to have to deal with every part of me before they get to hit this. Or they're not going to touch this little finger. It ain't happening. And Cheryl was laughing her head off. But it's true. It's like, you know, you get me, you get my pinky and my troglodyte toes and everything else. If you're
That's
afraid people wouldn't like
first.
You, love or respect or appreciate you if they really knew you, you really are giving away your power. Quite honestly, if you just kind of be you for real, the real you, all nothing else added or detracted to trying to, you know, gain someone. If you just deal with the real you, right, you know, put it out there right now. When somebody comes to you, then you don't have to worry about whether they're like, hey, I'm down for that. Just think about all the pressure that you're not going to have trying to keep up with appearances that aren't you. Can you imagine actually knowing that somebody loves you for who you are, despite all the things you have a problem with? Yeah.
Well, I think I have somebody like that. I'm very lucky. I have lots of somebodies like that. They know who I am. I know who they are, and they know I'm going to be up front and say what's on my mind.
Lots of somebody. Better all have the name Porky Pig, or I'm about
to
get into some trouble with you.
As friends and family, too, that accept me for who I am and what I am and know that I am going to say whatever's on my mind, and it's going to be the truth, but, yeah.
Right.
They hurt a lot.
Okay, I'm going to try a few more of these in real quickly. Let's say you feel like a fraud. You are miserable in your life in some way, shape, or form. You pretend to be perfect on the outside, but on the inside you feel like your soul is slowly but surely dying. You rationalize the crappiness in your life with thoughts like, life is hard, it doesn't get any better than this, life isn't meant to be fun, you know, all human beings are stupid. You don't trust yourself or your body. You believe you can't transform your life. AJ was talking about, when we were talking about, you know, your problems or when you screw things up and you're not the sum total of your mistakes. She was saying, yeah, you can take your life and fix your life. You know, that's right. But see, AJ is coming from a position of power. She actually knows that she has that ability. We all have that ability.
Yes, we do.
So those are some of the things that you need to look at. If you're not really sure if you're giving your power away, if, like Nina says, you actually go to somebody else to help you before you've even attempted to take care of something yourself, why do you think you're incapable?
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to try, that's for sure. Try whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think about what I said, the wisdom of what created you. And if you believe in anything, and you believe in God, and you think that God is so all-fired, incredible, and all-knowing, and full of wisdom, what was wrong with God's wisdom when God made you? Absolutely nothing. And there's no one else in the world that could ever be you. No one, ever. As long as time goes and comes, there will never be another you. I don't care whether you believe in incarnation or not, because you're already one specific spirit, and that spirit is not like anyone else ever or will ever be. Don't take that person away from the rest of the world. Don't take away one of the most precious gems that ever existed. Exactly how your eyes look, your skin, your face, the way you do things, even if people gripe about it. I know you speak like Amarilla Ease. I still love you. Unfortunately, you know it, and so you lord it over me, but I still love you. I love everybody that comes to me as themselves. And all the rest of them, I loved you even more. Because you're constantly demanding it. So, yes, folks, your power is real. You were born with it, just like your brilliance. And I just
anyone in there.
Yeah. So, and you know what power looks like. Basically, Lydia gave us a lot of, like, and Nina and AJ, the other examples. I didn't see everything in the chat room. But, yeah, when you're empowered, yeah, you make friends with the word no big time. You really will.
Feel it. Nothing else feels like owning your own power. Nothing else feels that way. And once I mentioned it to my, now, you know, I could have been a wounded child when my husband reacted strangely to me while we were doing, you know, a tour. And instead, you know, I claimed my power. I asked him what was going on. You know, I talked with him. I gave him an out for the next time, that it's like, if I am being a bossy know-it-all, you know, you can tell me, you know, and we'll talk about it. Maybe you misinterpreted something I said, you know. So own your power. There's nothing else like it. You're going to feel really, really great when you do. And, you know, even if it's baby steps, maybe you're in a group of, you know, three people and they want to do something and you really don't want to, or you're not comfortable. Maybe it's way outside your comfort zone. You know, you can say something to people. And if they don't like you for that, then they weren't really for you to begin with. You know, or you can come to some compromise. You know, well, we won't do it this time, and next time maybe we'll do it, the two of us, whatever. You know, check it out. Check out, do your baby steps. Check out what you really feel about things, instead of running for the drink or the drug or working or eating.
Or the gossip.
Yep,
or the
gossip.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Lots of people like that out there, that's for sure. Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. I think everybody has to look in the light of love and look at the good things. Blab about them. Don't blab about all my bad things. My gosh, that will keep you blabbing for a while, but come on. Don't blab about, you know, talk about the good things. Talk in love.
Yeah, you're spreading it when you do that. When you go tell somebody, oh, you know, my friend Nina did this great thing with the kids. It was so awesome. And the little kid, you know, ran up to Nina and said, Nina, I love you. And it's just such a sweet little thing. Okay, you know how you're just like, that's so sweet. Okay, now let's juxtapose that against, like, you know, that bitch Nina. It's like every time I talk to her, it's all about Nina, Nina, Nina. It's like she never thinks about me. Which one of those conversations is going to make you feel good? Which one of those conversations are you really going to want to spread? And you're spreading the good stuff. You're doing service to others, which is huge.
And yourself.
That's
and
right.
And yourself. Like,
yeah.
Really, to just blab, and that, oh, definitely giving your power away. When all you have to say is negative, oh, the power's gone. Just look in the light and see the good. Don't look at the other stuff. Look at the good in people. That will bring the good out.
And your power, it's like you'll get stronger and stronger. Like Lydia said, start saying the no to prepare for when, you know, the big stuff comes. I had situations with my friends when I was younger and I didn't have my boundaries. What boundaries? There's a fence somewhere. And one of my friends, she said she worked at night and we would always get together, her and another friend, and it's like, yeah, let's go hit a movie, whatever. And the one friend wanted to just keep having more fun. And this one friend of mine, my friend Becky, best pal from high school, she said, no, I think I'm going to go home and take a nap before work. And the other girl was kind of miffed about it. And she said, well, you take time off all the other time. She goes, yeah, well, I'm just a little tired. I'm going to go home. And it's like, we're just going to go see a movie. We could go. I mean, she just kept, see, you hear the other person is not taking no. Mm-hmm. And Becky just said, no, I'm leaving. And I kind of started to feel a little uncomfortable because Becky doesn't normally, she's really quiet. And I just thought, man, you know, she's sort of, but see, Becky just refuses to let somebody else railroad her into something. And I learned from her. The people who I was around that would say no, and it would, even when it hurt my feelings, I learned from them. And I thought, I want to be that strong. That's the way I was back then. And I'm beyond that strong now. And I'm still getting better, just putting everyone on notice.
I know. She's not kidding, folks. She's really not kidding. She is better. And Brenda, I have to tell you that you teach me constantly. You know, you constantly, and Nina too, you constantly teach me, and you're great mirrors for me, and I really, really appreciate that.
Well, the same goes for you, Lydia. I think that we are all learning from each other, and that's what makes us so remarkable, that we're still able to learn and still able to help each other learn. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and to be able to say no to each other. And to others, too, like, that's our power. That's where we want to be. We don't want to be in the shadows and saying, yes, I'll do that. And when we really don't want to, come on. That's more than giving your power away. That's giving your life away.
Yes.
Yeah, and we're going to replace want with choose. We're choosing because want is almost like a powerless position. It's like saying, you want more when really it's like you choose to have more. Choose it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got that power. So, yes, absolutely. Okay, well.
It's just about time to wrap
it
up.
Can we wrap it up
folks?
So that AJ can hear some of the shows coming up before she.
Yeah, I think.
Oops.
Yes, please.
Sorry.
Okay,
we're going
Brenda.
To Bainbridge, baby. Bainbridge at my house.
Yep, drinking tea
I'm
on the deck.
In the papers right now.
All right.
Yeah, exactly, AJ. AJ says, want is waiting on your laurels instead of going to get it. It is like try. Don't try, do. Hey, AJ, go on with it, girl.
She's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
okay.
Tuesday, BYO Brilliance. Brenda, what's the topic tomorrow night?
The brilliance of your true self, connecting to your true self.
And
right?
That's at 6 p.m. Mountain or Pacific time?
It's at 6 p.m. The brilliance of exploring your true self. Can you hear now, AJ? AJ lost audio. Okay,
we're back. All right. Anyways. Okay, so that's 6 p.m. tomorrow, and Wednesday is in the studio with Lennis. Hot topics of the week, whatever's happening in sports and celebrities and whatever else is happening in the world. And Thursday is Filmcology with Brenda. And Brenda, the movie this week.
Okay, this is really big, folks, and I hope that you listen to this, even if you don't come to the movie. It was a month ago that I was watching, somehow, I'm telling you, this is spiritual. So for some reason, it was about a month ago, I actually was watching TV, I was getting done with my studies, and then all of a sudden, this movie, I turned the TV on, and this movie was on, Ghosts of Mississippi, and that's the movie we're going to do. But I was watching it, and I was getting more, I've seen it before, but it was just like, oh, I must do something about Medgar Evers. I want to do this movie. And I thought, okay, the next show up was in June. And as I started to make the show up, as I did it that night, I was so impassioned about it, I realized that the anniversary of Medgar Evers' murder would be on that same day, which is this Thursday. So I don't know if you guys watch movies or what goes on, but this June is a really huge month for these kind of issues, a huge month. And my sister reminded me of something about that last night too, tonight too, because she started talking about the movie Mississippi Burning, and that's where the three freedom riders or whatever, they went in to try to help people sign up for voting. And Mississippi didn't want that. They didn't want black people to vote. So they murdered those three young students. And that happened on June 21st. So Here we are on Medgar Evers, the anniversary of his death, on the 12th. We're going to talk about the movie, The Ghost of Mississippi. It has James Woods in it and Whoopi Goldberg and Alec Baldwin. Stellar cast. Incredible story. And I just have to believe that there's something about Medgar Evers, why this is taking place on his anniversary. So please try to check out the movie or try to join us on Thursday at 6 p.m. And if nothing else, just think about all the people who did lose their lives to get better equal treatment in these United States.
Yes, for sure. And Friday, we have Traffic Jam with Lennis at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. And this week, it will be classic rock. So stay tuned for that, everyone. A good way to start your weekend off, an hour of music to groove by.
Yeah.
And Saturday, Time to Love with Miss Lydia. Lydia, what's up for this week?
We're going to do Nurture with Nature.
Ooh, yeah.
Nice.
Get outside, folks, but stay inside and listen to my show at 2 o'clock Pacific time.
If it ever stops raining, I can get outside.
Mm. Hey, you know what?
We had a nice day yesterday.
It rained and was very cool yesterday. I wore long pants and a long sleeve shirt and a jacket here, but I think I got teleported to the Emerald Isle. I have never, ever seen it so green in Colorado in June like it has been.
It is here, too. It's been raining a lot. So, yeah, we have lush green happening, but so are the weeds because we can't get out there to pick some.
Yay, dandelions!
Never mind. Dark yellow flowers.
It's my favorite yellow.
I know. Well, Lydia, I look forward to that because I am hopefully going to get out into that flower garden and nurture some nature.
No, you have to let nature nurture you.
Oh, it
Amen.
Does. It does. Mm-hmm. Just sitting out on that deck, I let it nurture me all the time.
Bring it on, nature. I could use a good stipend from nature. Have
now,
a good
now.
Night. AJ saying good night, everyone.
Good
night, AJ.
Just...
Love you.
Love you, AJ.
Okay, that brings us to Sunday, and... Sunday is Psychic Readings with Lennis at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. She has that special still going on, folks. Every ninth caller will get a free one-hour reading with Lennis. I am this week. I don't care if you not going to – I'm going to phone. I've had enough of this. I'm going to
Yeah, what the heck? How come we haven't gotten it? That ain't right. Come on, you guys. You got to at least call in there so we get up to 9.
Yeah,
I say we do it for real on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going to. I'm not threatening. I'm doing it. So, call in. Lannis is always pretty much on the money, and Brenda fills in the blanks. And sometimes I even have an inkling or two. So,
if I'm there.
And that brings us back.
Yeah, but if you get it, then, you know, I'm sitting in on your session.
Sure.
You just tell her no. Come on, take the power. You win it, it's yours.
I don't mind. Lydia, you can sit in on it, too, if you want. I don't care.
No.
Okay, then don't. I don't care. One way or the other. But, yeah, if you want, you can listen in. I'm an open book. You can hear everything she's got to say.
Well, she's so open. Who wants to hear her? Come on. Who's got some secrets? Be number 9 caller and let the Brenda listen in. See?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Come on now. I know that we are not talking to the only innocent out there in the world. And I'm not so innocent, you know, in my mind, but... Yeah, I'm not quite sure everyone wants to hear all that.
No.
Okay, Brenda.
Thank you.
No yes? more talking for a minute.
I am really getting good at saying no, just so you know.
We have a caller. We have a caller.
Okay.
Oh, cool. I know who that is.
Hello, caller.
Hi. How are you?
We're good, thank you.
Good.
Who's this?
I actually just started listening to the program. Lo.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Lo.
So I don't think you know who I am.
No. You're probably looking for Lannis, aren't you?
Who?
You're probably looking for Lannis?
No. I mean, I don't believe I ever called before.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's been a very long time since I've been listening to the talk radio show at night lately here. I just thought I'd call because I heard you say that it was very cool, and and it's been cool in out state as well. And I'm not sure, and I said to my daughter the other day, I said, you know, I believe we are like 2 months behind time because, you know, this is April weather that we're having, actually. Mm-hmm, because it's, you know, raining all the time, and our weather is always hot during this time. I live in Tennessee.
Where are you from?
Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
So the weather is always hot, but it's not here. And I thought I'd just call and interject there.
Well, I live in Canada, so it's always like this here.
I can bet. I bet. I mean, I'll probably like that weather much better than here.
Yeah.
But
you
guys in Tennessee, you're not you're rather temperate, aren't you? You don't get too hot during the summer, do you?
Oh yes, yes we do. It's extremely hot here in the summer. You're unable to even stay outside. The weather is it's just too hard to bear with. I thought it was unlike any weather, but I know Arizona is a very hot state as well. But I know we here in Tennessee, it's very, very difficult to live if you're not used to the weather. You won't be able to stand it. Yeah. I'm used to both.
I'm
going to
ask you a question.
Hot and warm, cold. Yes.
I'm going to ask you a question, sweetie. Now, this is because I have a friend who lives in Amarillo, and once I had a friend who lived in the middle of Arizona, Tempe, Arizona, or somewhere in there. Now, for goodness sakes, why did you move into the frying pan? Or is that just because your family was there? You were born there.
I'm born here, so I never really went anywhere. I mean, I went somewhere a couple of years, you know, when I got a little older, but I'm back in the state, so... I'm used to living like this, and when I traveled mostly in the South, so and it was hot, but the temperature was not like it was here in this city. You know, the travels that I've gone through, the temperature was not like this city. This city is very, very hot to me. It's very hot.
I don't like hot. I live in Colorado, and it can be
it can get hot here, and because we're at such a high altitude, it definitely the sun is pretty hot at times, but you cool off at night. Like, I don't have air conditioning, and there might be only a week that I need air conditioning. But my house stays cool, and it cools off at night, and I'm just fine. I'm just fine.
Well, that's good to hear, but you won't be able to do that here in Tennessee.
I was at Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and then I was on a lake somewhere close to Oak Ridge. And it was hot, and what else? It was humid.
Yeah, very humid here. Very. It's almost like... the moment you step out, the heat, you just start sweating because it's unbearable, the weather here. And it's so unusual that the weather that we're experiencing now, it's very unusual weather. And I'm saying, so we must be behind time a little bit. I'm not
sure.
Well,
you got to enjoy it while you got it, Lo. Now, I do want to tell you, Lo, that we're actually wrapping up our show, but we'll show on in. But I want to tell you something because I'd love for you to call again. There's three of us. There's me, I'm Lydia, and there's Nina and Brenda. So we're called LNB, Passage to Empowerment. And tonight we talked. We had a great show, and you can listen on the archives. We had a great show on, do you give your power away? Or are you giving your power away? And
that's,
we had examples of that.
I love that. I love that because I said, I'm going to listen to the show. Maybe it's something that I can take with me because I need to be empowered, or I needed to ask you all a question and see, was this empowerment to you all? No, but now I know you got to go. So.
No, please.
No, wait
don't
a minute.
Go ahead and ask.
No, you ask a question, sweetie.
Well, I don't know. I was in this class. Well, I was trying to get into a class just to take as an elective, and I had been told back and forth from the different administrators from different departments, administrators that you can't be in two programs at the same time. And so I understood that clearly from the program that I was trying to enter. I understood that clearly that I couldn't be in two programs at the same time, but I could take a particular class as an elective. And so that's what I chose to do after I was informed that. So then I was told that I needed to pay for this class as well. So I made arrangements to do that as too. And then, but I was still... Every time I called back and said, well, look, this is what I need to do, they would tell me, well, you can't be in two programs at the same time. And so I said, you keep telling me the same thing, and I understand that I can't be in two programs at the same time. I understood that I could take this class as an elective in order for me to get into this program and be on time with this program. So, and I understand this is not the first time that this has happened, but, you know, they just haven't had the problems that I endured. And so they continued to walk me all over that and said that I couldn't be in two programs. And even though I've clearly made my stance or my statement that I'm not trying to get into another program, I'm simply trying to enroll in an elective class. And so, but the conversation still lingered on, you can't be in two programs, as if I'm, you know, as if something else is going on. So finally, the class was to start the following day. I had to actually call to the office and get a top management or even the president involved of the school to ask what exactly is going on, because I'm beginning to feel rejected here, and I'm simply trying to enroll in a class. And I wanted to know, why was I being rejected for this class that I'm trying to enter? Why is this happening, and what reason? I don't know. I have no idea, because I feel like I carry myself in a very respectful way. And, you know, I'm a law-abiding person, never been to jail, trying to understand what exactly is going on here. And I
so how did they resolve the problem?
They resolved the problem at the end of the day and said that, at the end of the day, which was about 5 or 6 o'clock, I received an email that said that we have enrolled you. And then the following day, I'm still excited to get into this class until about, I guess, about 3-something. I started to think about it. Why did I have so much problems just trying to enroll in a class that was explained to me that I could, this is what I had to do, and I did everything that they told me to do. And I, you know, and it's almost like something came over me and said, well, you know, if they're treating you this way, then perhaps you don't need to take the class, because that means that if I take the class and I was rejected from the beginning, even though I don't know why, but it just behooves me to find out why this happened, and should I proceed further to even ask for a meeting with the president, because I like to know, because I felt very, very sad over it. It actually depressed me. I'm already going through a bit of a depression, and I felt like this is something, if I continued to go to school, this would at least preoccupy my mind and keep my mind doing something rather than sitting around waiting for something else. And,
well,
you know,
I'm going to say something now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I'm going to applaud the steps you took to maintain your power. Like, somebody wasn't going to shaft you off what you were hoping to do without a good explanation. But in the future, you might want to try this little trick. I learned it from, it's an old union trick. When somebody actually tells you something that's, you know, different than what you've previously been told, just say, can I get your name and your number? I just need to keep track of this because I need to, somebody asked me why I can't get in there. I'm going to tell them that you said that it was okay for me to enroll. And then if they're like, yeah, you can use my number, if they hem and haw, then this is a time where you might want to make physical contact, if at all possible, and get it in writing.
Oh,
you
I have
get
everything
it in
writing
that you...
I have everything in writing. All of these things are in writing. So this is... But the thing I'm trying to understand is, why did I have to go to the preliminaries of going to the top? Why should I have to have gone to the top just to be enrolled in one class?
Yeah, that's part of the problem with big organizations, especially universities.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else knows this, somebody else sort of knows that. And you did basically what I thought was an empowering type move.
You kept contacting somebody else
because you've been given partially one information. Now, if you had given away your power, you would have relinquished the class completely. But
I must have relinquished it. I did. Because the following day, like I said, I thought about it. I said, why should I have gone through that? I said, I should not have gone through all of those preliminaries. So that means that if I get in this class and I do well, they can grade me on however they want to and still not allow me to be in the program, because for whatever their reason, allow me to be placed in this, to enroll in this class, it could become deeper for me, so that means that I'll pay all of this money for a class and then end up even failing it or making a D, because after 3 particular classes, you may not be able to get into that program. You see what I'm saying? So I did relinquish.
Your power. You're maintaining your power. Your power would be to walk completely away.
Oh, okay.
Now, if you choose to walk away, let it be your choice.
Right.
It's their choice. Finding out why they did it, that might possibly help, but it also might mess, like you're saying, with your head a little. Instead of, you know, feeding into their issues, do what you need to do to get what you need to get done. Lydia basically talked about that, and so did Nina, but in the show today. But do what you need to do to get it done. Now, if you need to go talk to somebody at the high level and say, here's what happened to me. I need to know if I'm going to end up getting kicked out. Is this going to be an issue for me financially? How are we going to deal with this? Because if this is something to do with something more like prejudice or something like that, then I would need to get somebody else to help me. And that's something else.
Okay.
But until you know for sure that this isn't just a misstep of people who just have the wrong information, which unfortunately, I've been to a lot of colleges, and that happens a lot.
I think that's what has happened. I've got a feeling
I do want to say something to you. This is Lydia, and I let Brenda take it because I know she has had experience with her schooling with this type of thing. And I just want to really acknowledge that you did keep your power until you second-doubted yourself.
Yeah.
You know, to have power, you know, we're not talking about the power that, you know, where you're like going, I'm the boss and you listen to me and all that stuff. But owning your power, we all have the creative power within us. The creator's power within us. We were made by a creator. You could call it God. You can call it love. You can call it whatever you choose. But we have that within us. And when you own that power, it feels good. When you made the decision not to go to the class and you had sound decisions for that, don't second guess yourself, honey, because you are divinely guided. And I feel for you. If you've been going through a bit of depression, of course, that makes you second guess yourself. But stand in your power and look in your mirror and tell yourself how wonderful you are. Because I truly believe that, Lo. It's not a coincidence you called us tonight. And that's the
I'm going to tell you something, if I may, right quick.
Please.
You mentioned your name. Your name is one of the names that I had to deal with. Not only that, you mentioned another name. It's a school that I had to deal with. So that is so, I don't know what they call it. It's,
was the other name Nina?
I'm not going to say. It wasn't that name. It was a proper name, but it was a school name, you mentioned something that,
this is Nina. This is Nina, and I just want to tell you, stay tuned to next week's show, because it's all going to be about women unleashing your power, and it's going to be part one of a 3-part series. So
what time
tune
you
into
all
that
come on?
Show. We come on at 8 p.m. Pacific time.
I think it's 11. Isn't that in Tennessee?
Right, yeah. That's why you all still on here. Okay.
And
we usually
just go an hour, but we always put extra time on in case we get a call or we get on a roll. We don't want to hurry ourselves. But, you know, I would invite you, Lo, to stay with us. We have an empowering meditation at the end. And
which we are going to go to right now because we are running out of time. So we're going to go to our meditation now.
All right, sure.
Love you
all.
All
right, everybody. Turn your lights down low. Light a candle. Say a prayer. And we're going into meditation.
Now that you are relaxed, my voice and the nature sounds continue to take you deeper. You are on a brilliant and loving journey. Speaking the words, I am that you are empowered to create the life of your highest good and joy. As you sleep each night, you see your dreams and aspirations. They safely meet you with joy and love. You happily accept and embrace them. Accept and see yourself healthy and healed, reflecting your chosen physical form. Accept and see yourself in your chosen financial position. See yourself accepting the goals you choose to manifest in your life. Your goals, dreams, and aspirations are completely in your control. Every day you awake refreshed, energetic, and you accept the power to realize love, happiness, and the goals that serve you. You are love. You are brilliant. You are healthy. You are healed. You are secure. You speak these words to yourself daily, several times a day. I am that, that I am. I am that.
Namaste.
Have a good week, everyone.
God bless.